Important questions with answers. Write a critical note on the structure and plot construction of The Tempest. A compact and close, neat structure. The Tempest has undoubtedly a compact and close, neat structure. It's a very highly wrote play, densely patterned, but simple in design. It is in all probability Shakespeare's shortest play, as it is in all likelihood his last. In it, Shakespeare has, departing from his usual practice, absorbed these three famous unities of ancient classical drama, observed also by the neoclassical English dramatists like Ben Jonson. The observance of the three unities by Shakespeare in this play is to a large extent responsible for the compactness of its structure. Shakespeare's observance of the three unities in this play. The three unities were the unities of time, place, and action. The unity of time required that the action of a play should not take more time than the representation of the play takes on the stage. A play generally takes 3 hours to be represented on the stage, and therefore the unity of time required that the action of the play should not extend over more than 3 hours. However, this rule could be relaxed to allow the action of a play to extend over 24 hours. In The Tempest, the action of the play does not extend more than 3 hours. The duration of the action of this play is clearly indicated to us by a few bits of dialogue between Prospero and Ariel. The unity of place required that the action of a play should not shift from one place to place, but should occur at the same location. In The Tempest, the entire action occurs on Prospero's island. Of course, on the island itself, we move from one part to another part of the territory. But we are not required to leave the island at any point in the course of the play. Now, in almost all other plays of Shakespeare, the action extends over days and days, sometimes over months, and in some cases over years. Similarly, in almost all other plays of Shakespeare, the scenes shifts from one place to another, and sometimes from one country to another. It is only The Tempest that the unities of time and place have been observed. Then there is the unity of action, which requires that there should be a single plot in a play, and that the plot of a play should not consist of two more threads. In almost all plays of Shakespeare, the unity of action has been violated because the plot in those plays is not single. In almost all his other plays, we get multiple plots which consist of one main plot and one or two or three subplots or underplots. In The Tempest, also we do not have a single plot. Here we have one main plot which relates to Prospero's treatment of his enemies, and we have two or three subplots, namely the courtship and the betrothal of Ferdinand and Miranda, the intrigue hatched by Caliban against Prospero's life, and the intrigue hatched by Antonio and Sebastian against the lives of Alonso and Gonzalo. In spite of there being several threads of the story in this play, it yet produces a unified effect. And therefore, it is generally argued that Shakespeare in this play has observed the unity of action also. However, we must admit that this particular unity has not been strictly or rigidly observed. The exposition in Act 1 of the play. The close interrelation of the various strands of action in this play is a noteworthy feature. This play, on a close examination, would be found to possess a kind of structure which ancient classical plays possessed. For instance, we have in Act 1 what is known as the exposition. In this act, almost all the characters, with the exception of Stefano and Trinculo, are introduced to us. The complications of the drama are introduced in Act 2. The complications are intensified in Act 3. The complications reach a crisis point in Act 4. The catastrophe or the resolution take place in Act 5. Moving simultaneously through these various stages of development are the three or four separate plot lines involving separate groups of characters. The various plot lines are set in motion by a single event, namely the shipwreck. It is the shipwreck which brings Prospero's enemies to the island, and it is the arrival of these enemies on the island that enables Miranda and Caliban to see the first human beings apart from Prospero, whom they have ever seen. The shipwreck is the only real event which occurs in Act 1. The rest of Act 1 has been devoted to Prospero's account to Miranda of his past life. In Act 1, apart from the shipwreck, the past history of Ariel and Caliban is also brought to our notice. In the same act, the newly landed Ferdinand, lured by Ariel's singing, catches sight of Miranda and falls in love with her, and here Miranda too falls in love with Ferdinand. Thus, the most important subplot also begins and develops in Act 1. Then, the seeds of Caliban's conspiracy against Prospero are also present in the act. Because we are clearly informed of Caliban's grievances against Prospero, and also a Prospero's reason for feeling resentful towards Caliban. Prospero's reason is that Caliban had on one occasion tried to rape Miranda. The complications introduced in Act 2. In Act 2, Scene 1, Alonso is presented as mourning the loss of his son, Ferdinand, whom he believes to have been drowned. In this scene, we witness also Prospero's wicked brother Antonio instigating Sebastian to murder Alonso in his sleep, and also to murder Gonzalo, who is very devoted to Alonso. In order that Sebastian may seize the throne of Naples, just as Antonio himself had seized the dukedom of Milan. Antonio's project, to which Sebastian has fully agreed, is foiled by Ariel singing a song to awaken Gonzalo. In Act 2, Scene 2, Caliban meets Stefano and Trinculo, who think that they are only survivors of the shipwreck. Caliban feels stimulated and elated by the liquor which Stefano pours into his mouth, and offers to become Stefano's devoted slave. Here is evidently the first step in the intrigue against Prospero, because Caliban regards Stefano as the master whom he would serve wholeheartedly and voluntarily. The heightening of the complications and the final resolution. In Act 3, each plot line is separately developed in three different scenes. In the first scene of this act, the love of Ferdinand and Miranda is further developed, and the two lovers exchange vows of everlasting devotion to each other. In the second scene of this act, the intrigue against Prospero's life is begun and developed, with Stephanus agreeing wholeheartedly to Caliban's scheme. In the third scene of the act, Ariel, appearing in the shape of a harpy, denounces the three men of sin and warns them of the fate which would overtake them in case they do not repent of their crimes and if they do not take a vow to lead sinless lives in the future. All the three sinners now lose the use of their faculties and appear to be stunned and benumbed. In Act 4, Prospero celebrates the betrayal of Ferdinand and Miranda, and entertains them with the mosque presented by the spirits who at Prospero's command. This act ends suddenly when Prospero recalls Caliban's plot against his life and proceeds to punish Caliban and his two accomplices. Act B begins with Ariel reporting to Prospero the miserable condition of Alonso and his companions, and more especially of Gonzalo. Prospero assures Ariel that his only purpose is to make his enemies realize the gravity of the crime which they had committed against him 12 years ago, and that he has no intention to punish them beyond a certain point. Then follows the resolution, with Prospero forgiving his enemies and informing them that Ferdinand is alive. The play ends with general reconciliation and rejoicing. emphasis and reinforcement of effects through parallel situations. The brief survey shows the extraordinary neatness and compression of the play structure. Within this neatly planned structure, Shakespeare creates pattern and design by means of parallels and contrasts. Relationships and situations are duplicated or echoed. Events in one plot repeat or parody those in another. Just as Prospero had in the past been deposed by his brother Antonio, so now Antonio on the island urges Sebastian to depose his brother Alonso by killing him. Sebastian agrees to attempt the assassination of his brother in order to usurp the throne of Naples, and although he remembers that Antonio had also deposed his brother Prospero, yet he doesn't realize that Antonio's originally unbrotherly act has led to the present predicament of the entire group of persons who were voyaging on the sea and who were caught in a storm. Of course, Sebastian doesn't know that the storm was caused by Prospero's supernatural powers. Another parallel is to be found in the attempted murder of Prospero by Stefano and Trinculo at the request of Caliban. Caliban has asked Stefano to murder the tyrant Prospero, and Stefano has agreed to carry out the murder because he feels tempted by the prospect of becoming the king of the island and by the further prospect of winning Miranda as his wife. Caliban's purpose of wanting Prospero to be murdered is to take his revenge upon the man who, in his opinion, had usurped the ownership of the island, which in Caliban's opinion originally belonged to him. But in wanting to regain the ownership of the island, Caliban merely transfers that ownership from Prospero to Stefano, because Caliban explicitly says that Stefano can become the king of the island after murdering Prospero. Thus, even if Prospero were to be murdered, Caliban would merely be replacing one master with another. However, both the attempt to assassinate Alonso and the attempt to murder Prospero are foiled by Ariel. Duplication and contrast. In this play, brother turns against brother and servant turns against master. This kind of atoning takes other forms of duplication and of contrast. Prospero and Alonso are two fathers who were in the beginning enemies, but those children, having fallen in love with each other, they ultimately become friends. Prospero's dukedom, and who now instigates Sebastian to murder his brother Alonso, the good and evil are contrasted in the characters of Prospero and Antonio. And this contrast is found again in Prospero and in which Sycorax. While Sycorax represents black magic, Prospero's magic is beneficent. Sycorax, by the exercise of her black magic, imprisoned Ariel in a cloven fine tree because Ariel was a spirit too delicate to carry out her gross and disgusting commands. But Prospero released Ariel from his imprisonment and recognized the full potentialities of the dainty and ingenious spirit. Even the respective offerings of Prospero and Sycorax are morally contrasted. Prospero's offspring is the innocent and poor-minded Miranda, while Sycorax's offspring is Caliban, who is not only physically deformed but morally depraved. Miranda is both beautiful and pure, while Caliban is deformed and a burn devil, on which nature even a good upbringing or nurture can have no effect. Even the lovers themselves are contrasted. Ferdinand is a sophisticated young prince who, in the course of his life, has met a large number of ladies, has felt attracted by some of them. But Miranda is absolutely a simple and inexperienced girl who has known only one man in her life, namely her father. While the other man whom she has known, namely Caliban, is more of a beast than a human being. Then there is a contrast between two servants, namely Caliban and Ariel, who attend upon Prospero. Caliban is unwilling to serve Prospero, and he is gross and earthy, while Ariel serves Prospero, readily in accordance with the agreement reached by him with his liberator. And Ariel is besides a spiritual being made of air, while Caliban plots with Stefano against his master. Ariel assists his master's projects for retribution and is himself the agent of the final reconciliation. In Caliban, we see only brutishness and the disorder of unregenerate nature. While Ariel frustrates wicked plots, prevents murders, brings lovers together, and works for peace and harmony by means of his songs and music. The repetition of motifs and the effect of that repetition. The repetition of motifs in the structure of the Tempest allows for a kind of dramatic shorthand by which characters' actions are defined in relation to each other and to their function in the story. And not developed or elaborated in their own right, hence Miranda and Ferdinand are young lovers, both noble of birth and dutiful as children, but completely opposite in upbringing and in experience. Some aspect of each character are further defined in relation to Caliban. For instance, Miranda's innocence and natural refinement and Ferdinand's sophisticated sexuality. Antonio is the wicked brother of unrepentant, whose natural malice leads him to corrupt another man into a repetition of his own crime. The extent of Antonio's wickedness may be measured against that of Stefano, who is a low character and a servant, and who doesn't have Antonio's advantages of worth, and who therefore has possibly more motivation for his criminal envy of Prospero. Compression and density in the style of these pieces. The language in the plays has the qualities of compression and density which are found in the structure. This Tempest, by its very nature, is a play with a great deal of narration which needs to be concise and vivid if it is not to slow down the action. There is the long account by Prospero of his past life to Miranda, and there is Ariel's account to Prospero of how he has carried out Prospero's orders in causing a storm and managing to save the ship as well as all the men on board. There is also Francisco's account of how Ferdinand had been seen by him struggling against the waves. Later, the boatsman relates his strange experience of surviving the tempest and rejoining the passengers of his ship on the island. All these accounts by the various characters are noteworthy for their compression and some of them for the liveliness of their language. Each narrator has a different manner of speaking and his own linguistic individuality. Even the boatswain, who has hardly 30 lines to speak in the whole play. Techniques such as compression of syntax, omission of connective words, alteration of word order, and irregularity of rhythm characterize much of the language of this play. The relevance of the mask. The mask has been thought by some critics to be irrelevant to the themes of the play. In the opinion of some critics, the mask was introduced into this play by Shakespeare only to honor and please the royalty of the time. That might have been so, but it doesn't for that reason but become extraneous to the play. The mask has been woven into the texture of the play. Ferdinand and Miranda might have been introduced into the story by Shakespeare to correspond to a royal couple who had got married at the time of his writing of the play. But Ferdinand and Miranda fit into the pattern of the whole admirably, and mask becomes not only irrelevant as a means of entertaining the young lovers, but integral to the subplot which deals with romantic love. Two important speeches also integral to the play. Then there are two speeches, both by Prospero, which contain some famous lines. Both these speeches from essential ingredients of the main plot. In one speech made just at the end of the mosque, Prospero speaks of the transitoriness of all things. We are such stuff as the dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Ferdinand has guessed that the mosque was enacted by spirit, and Prospero thereupon points out that the spirit have melted into the thin air, and that everything in this world would likewise come to an end and melt away. These lines by Prospero are an essential part of the theme to transience or impermanence in the play. In the second speech, Prospero tells Ariel that the rarer action in his virtue than in vengeance, meaning that forgiveness is nobler than revenge. And these lines are an essential ingredient of one of the major themes of the play, that major theme being that forgiveness is preferable to revenge.